You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trees, mountains, a curious kittadoo.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95BFM.
Now to the Green Desk, where things get shitty today. New Zealand has a poo problem. An estimated 100 million tonnes of cow and sheep manure fall onto New Zealand pastures each year, causing an environmental and economic stink. Reporter Jack Marshall went to see a man about dung beetles. Dung Beetle Innovations' Dr. Sean Forgey is a specialist in dung beetle reproduction, ecology and evolution. And if he has his way, every farm in New Zealand will have these bugs following around their animals.
Yeah, this, you can hear it's quite crusty. It's
that, my friends, is the sound of a cow pat after dung beetles have gone to work on it. I'm in Whenuapai visiting the bug man who hopes to help New Zealand and its poo problem.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sean Forgey. I'm a dung beetle specialist, co-founder and director for Dung Beetle Innovations, which is where we are today. So we have this mass rearing facility for dung beetles based in Whenuapai in northwest Auckland.
So what's the deal with these bugs? And why does this entomologist want to bring these foreign bugs into New Zealand? Here's Dr. Forgey.
The reason why we need dung beetles here is that we brought in to this country, along with a lot of other countries, livestock, minus the cleanup crew. And you may say, well, why don't we have already dung beetles in New Zealand? Well, we do. But
really?
But they're actually confined to closed canopy forest environments and maybe a couple of species in high tussock country area. So you've already got a break in that natural process of recycling manure. So you bring in all the livestock, minus the cleanup crew that's responsible for getting rid of it and putting it underground and making use of it in the soil horizon. And so that's why we brought them in here, because you may or may not know that poo in this country is a major issue, especially if forage fowl on the pasture surface, but also what runs off into the waterways too.
And livestock drop a lot of the brown stuff onto New Zealand soil.
So the estimates at the moment for what we've got in production is about 90 to 100 million tonnes of cow and sheep poo produced in this country every year. To put that into context, that's like lining an Olympic pool from Cape Reinga, head to tail all the way to Bluff, and filling it with poop. That's how much shit is in this country every year sitting on pasture.
That's a lot of shit.
That's an awful lot. And when you think about how long it's sitting there, typically in winter time it's there for about a month. In summertime and in the dry off period, it can be anything up to 2 or 3 months. And the big problem with that is that when you've got a poo sitting on a pasture surface, it's a repugnant zone. It's offensive to livestock. I mean, crikey, you and I wouldn't want to eat around our own shit. So why would a livestock animal do the same? So you've got an area 5 times the size of that poop that's avoided because it's repugnant. So it's a major problem on pasture for productivity just sitting there. Mm-hmm. Imagine getting rid of it in 24 hours with dung beetles hammering it and burying it into the soil.
So everything sounds positive so far.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, it is. I mean, it's basically a cycle of land and poop, bury it, and repeat.
Yeah. And the numbers kind of only grow as much shit as there is.
That's right, yeah. So one of the other questions was, well, crap, are we going to be swamped in dung beetles, or are we going to have dung beetles flying into our barbecues and taking off our sausages and things like this? We've had these questions come up before, eh? But no, they're proportional to how much poop is sustainably produced on your farm.
And then once dung beetles are on a farm, do they stay there basically permanently?
Yeah, well, they're there as long as the poop's there. So we normally have beetles moving at about 1 kilometre a year. So they follow in behind where the stock are going. So if your stock are on rotations, they tend to follow in where the smell of the fresh poo is. But typically, they will move at about 1 kilometre a year.
Well, I'm just thinking, in terms of a business case, you almost want to make them die out, because then you sell them once and they're like, well, thanks, mate.
Yeah, no, then that's quite true. So we sell them once, they do bulk up, and that's it, and that's our job done. The business profile for us is really, I just say, in terms of a business, not that great, because we would like to think we would do ourselves out of business in 20, 30 years. I'd be dead by then anyway. But still, the country will have benefited. And I think the key thing for this whole process was improving the country. It wasn't so much about us making money and making a business work. It's about getting these beetles on a country that desperately needs this tool to improve water quality and our pastoral sustainability. And that's really what we're all about. Not so much about making shitloads of money. It's about trying to fix this bloody country.
Next, Dr. Forgy took me to where they raise the bugs so I could see the beetles in action.
And what we're looking at the moment is one of our mass rearing containers. This is like a raised planter box, like you could imagine in someone's garden. You have those raised garden planters. We have those on large scale all across this particular commercial shed. And inside those, we have filled with a particular type of soil we get from Dalton's Soil and Matter. It's a particular soil we call the dung beetle soil mix. Gets trucked up to us. We put it into these big bins. And then we put upon it fresh piles of poo. And then we have a whole bunch of breeding beetles inside there of one variety, taking all that poo down into that soil horizon and doing all their nest building and stuff inside these containers. When it comes to a certain time when we know they're about to emerge as a brand new adult from those balls that are in the ground, we then get rid of all the poop and we basically put a trap right into the middle of that container. And inside that trap, you put the only supply of poop that's available. And when those new adults come up, they go and they can smell it. And they go straight into that big pile of poop in there. And when they just sit in that poop, and we come along twice a week and harvest those beetles out of that trap, and we do that in hundreds and hundreds of times, we end up having hundreds of thousands of beetles, which we then package up and ship off to waiting customers. You can't actually see this, but I've just turned over one of the cow crusts, and most of its guts have been taken underground and turn into a whole series of balls. And what's left on the surface is just a loose chaff or a loose crust.
Yeah, this, you can hear it's quite crusty. It's
yeah, because they look like cow pats, but they're essentially hollow.
Yeah, that's right. It was a cow pat to start with. So we had to harvest these cow pats off a farm, which is about 15 minutes from here. We have to shovel shit, probably about 5,000 kilos a week of shit that we have to collect off pasture, and then we basically deposit that into our rearing bins, and from them we get a lot of beetles coming up from what we put on the bins.
It's amazing, isn't it?
it's a lot of shit shoveling. Over there's what it looks like when it comes off the pasture. We have these beautifully sponsored Mitre 10 orange bins, buckets. What are they, 30 litres, 30 kilos? Off fresh poop that's come off a dairy farm 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And so we tend to put it into a massive walk-in refrigerator in summertime, but it's still cool enough to keep it in the buckets outside before we tip that on to make cow pats on our bins.
Yeah, I imagine in summertime it might be a different smell around here.
Yeah, it's a bit pooey, eh?
How did you, because you know this is a niche industry.
Yeah.
How did you get into the world of poop and poos and dung beetles?
Yeah, I was going to say it's not a common thing to get involved in shit like this. But no, I loved creepy crawlies from a young age. But I used to go to the University of Auckland myself, and I did a bachelor in zoology. And at the end of that, I did a summer internship at Department of Scientific Industrial Research. It's now a crown things like ag research and land care and stuff. But at Mount Alba Research Centre, and I don't know why, because I was looking at a master's degree thesis idea, and I knew about these two Australian dung beetles that happened to be in our pastures in New Zealand. And I thought, wow, I've never seen a dung beetle. That'd be really cool. And amazingly, and I don't know why, so don't ask, but we had a pile of fresh shit in the lab. I don't know why we had a pile of fresh shit in the lab, but we had it in the lab for a reason. It had to be. And out popped that shit, one of those beetles, just by sheer coincidence. And I thought, my goodness, what the heck? And instantly, my whole attention shifted to that beetle, how effective it is in New Zealand pastures, and I did my master's honours on it, and I realised New Zealand's got a major problem here with the amount of shit we have, and nothing's really getting rid of it.
So what's next for the dung beetle innovations? Where are we going?
Well, that's such a good question. You know, when you think how good this is for the country, what we're wanting to do is try and get the government to take this on board as a tool in its existing toolbox. We currently use riparian planting and we use fencing off, so exclusion fences. You kind of now need something on pasture to take the pressure off those two other tools, which aren't particularly effective at reducing surface runoff on high rainfall events. They've got their own benefits, but for surface flow, they need help. And so really what we want is the government to get on board and look at this as a national release strategy.
That was The Green Desk with Jack Marshall, where he spoke with Dung Beetle Innovations' Dr. Sean Forgy about the use of dung beetles in New Zealand farms.
That was The Green Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.